Hello, and welcome to Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. In So You Want to Talk About Race, editor-at-large of the establishment, Ijoma Oluo offers a contemporary, accessible take on the racial landscape in America, addressing head-on such issues as privilege, police brutality, intersectionality, microaggressions, the Black Lives Matter movement, and the N-word. Perfectly positioned to bridge the gap between people of color and white Americans struggling with race complexities, Oluo answers the questions readers don't dare ask, and explains the concepts that continue to elude everyday Americans. Oluo is an exceptional writer with a rare ability to be straightforward, funny, and effective in her coverage of a sensitive, hypercharged issue in America. Her messages are passionate but finely tuned and crystallize ideas that would otherwise be vague by empowering them with aha moment clarity. Today's Reader's Advisory is So You Want to Talk About Race by Ijoma Oluo. So You Want to Talk About Race is a nonfiction title looking into American society and how race and racism affect us all. The book is conversational in tone and looks to help build understanding in the discussion of race and racism in our society. The tone fosters understanding around a topic that makes most people uncomfortable to talk about. Readers may also enjoy How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. Ibram X. Kendi's concept of anti-racism re-energizes and reshapes the conversation about racial justice in America, but even more fundamentally, points us towards liberating new ways of thinking about ourselves and each other. In How to Be an Anti-Racist, Kendi asks us to think about what an anti-racist society might look like, and how we can play an active role in building it. In this book, Kendi weaves together an electrifying combination of ethics, history, law, and science, bringing it all together with an engaging personal narrative of his own awakening to anti-racism. How to Be an Anti-Racist is an essential work for anyone who wants to go beyond an awareness of racism to the next step, contributing to the formation of a truly just and equitable society. Or, Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race by Rennie Ito Lodge. In 2014, award-winning journalist Rennie Ito Lodge wrote about her frustration with the way that discussions of race and racism in Britain were being led by those who weren't affected by it. She posted a piece on her blog entitled, Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race, that led to this book. Exploring issues from eradicated Black history to the political purpose of white dominance, whitewashed feminism, to the inextricable link between class and race, Rennie Ito Lodge offers a timely and essential new framework for how to see, acknowledge, and counter racism. It is a searing, illuminating, absolutely necessary exploration of what it is to be a person of color in Britain today. Or, Speaking of Race by Patricia Roberts Miller. It's easy to say that racism is wrong, but it's surprisingly hard to agree on what it is. Does a tired stereotype in your favorite movie make it racist? Does watching it anyway mean you're racist? Even among like-minded friends, such discussions can quickly escalate to hurt feelings all around, and when they do, we lose valuable opportunities to fight racism. Patricia Roberts Miller is a scholar of rhetoric, the art of understanding misunderstandings. In Speaking of Race, she explains why the subject is a third rail and how we can do better. We can acknowledge that, in a racist society, racism is not the sole providence of bad people. We can focus on the harm it causes rather than the intent of the offenders. And when someone illuminates our own racist blind spots, we can take it not as criticism, but as a kindness, and an opportunity to learn and to become less racist ourselves. Bonus segment. My personal favorite Goodreads list, So You Want to Talk About Race Is On, is Durham Tech Equity and Inclusion Council book list. Happy reading, everyone. This month's library tidbit comes to us from Sarah, the Adult Services Librarian, and is on Mbele Art. On February 8th, the library will be holding a program on creating Mbele-inspired artwork. It will probably be full or past by the time you hear this podcast. However, that does not mean that you cannot learn about and experience Mbele art for yourself. The Largo Public Library also has a few books on Mbele art that you can check out to gain a deeper understanding. Mbele art is the traditional artwork of the Southern Mbele people of South Africa. Traditionally, it is the art of the women of the Mbele people. The tradition began with women painting their houses, and while it is still traditionally used as house painting, it has also been transferred to other surfaces such as canvas and at least one BMW art car. One of the most well-known Mbele artists is Esther Mkhlanglu. Mkhlanglu learned Mbele house painting from her mother and grandmother. It is important in Mbele house painting to paint straight lines. When Mkhlanglu was 10, after watching her mother and grandmother paint their house and wanting to join in, she picked up a chicken feather and tried her hand. She says she was scolded by her mother and grandmother for not painting straight lines and forbidden from trying again. However, she was not dissuaded and kept trying until her mother and grandmother gave her a section of the house, in the back where it would not be visible, to practice until she had learned the craft. Mbele house painting is categorized with straight lines, geometric patterns, and bold colors. Traditionally, these held meaning for the Mbele people and were a way to communicate to others information such as marriages, births, deaths, etc. After the Boer Wars, through British expansion, and finally through apartheid, Mbele house painting was a way to express resistance and spread information through the community without the colonizing force knowing. Another aspect of the tradition was that a woman painted her first house when she got married, and if the lines were straight, the family assumed that she was a good wife and could take care of her family. The walls of houses are whitewashed before the lines and patterns are painted in black. The patterns are then filled in with colors. Traditionally, the pigments used were only colors that could be created using natural pigments. However, modern Mbele painters use acrylic paints, and therefore the colors used in Mbele house painting has grown. The geometric patterns traditionally used in Mbele house painting are triangles, chevrons, rectangles, and circles. The patterns tend to be repeated with different colors being used to fill it in. Since the 1980s, Esther Mkhlanglu has traveled the world spreading the knowledge of Mbele house painting and teaching others. Mkhlanglu has collaborated with global brands such as BMW, Belvedere Vodka, and Fiat, to name a few. She has also been invited to exhibit in 12 countries around Europe, Africa, and the United States. Mkhlanglu has opened an art school to pass on the tradition where she teaches both girls and boys. Mkhlanglu has expressed concerns about girls leaving the community and not learning the traditional house painting. I highly recommend checking out the books available in the county on Mbele artwork, especially if you missed out on our program, so that you can see it for yourself and gain a deeper understanding of this art. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenidos a una nueva edición de Viajero de Libros. Mi nombre es Víctor y soy el bibliotecario en la Biblioteca Pública de Largo. Hoy les voy a estar hablando de un libro que tenemos en la colección en español que se titula Más allá de mi reino, de Ya y Así. Sinopsis. Estudiante de doctorado en neurociencia, Gifty explora la conducta en ratones para investigar el funcionamiento de los circuitos neuronales de la depresión y la adicción. Dos enfermedades que han causado estragos entre sus seres más queridos. Su hermano, Nana, era una promesa del atletismo que murió hace años a causa de una sobredosis de heroína tras una lesión del tobillo y la dependencia del oxicotin. Mientras que su madre ha vuelto a caer en una depresión severa. Aunque Gifty está dedicada a descubrir la base científica que anida en el sufrimiento familiar, se topa una y otra vez con la fe religiosa y los valores de la iglesia evangélica que marcaron su infancia. Un mundo cuya promesa de salvación sigue siendo tan tentadora como inalcanzable. Opinión. Más allá de mi reino es una novela excelente, ya que navega la historia entre las diferentes concepciones de Dios, la africana, origen de la familia del personaje principal, hasta llegando a la iglesia estadounidense, dentro de un suelo capitalista, hasta acabar en los fundamentos de la ciencia, donde el personaje principal vive en la segunda etapa de su vida. Gifty, protagonista de la novela, es un personaje complejo por sus diferentes facetas interconectadas. Ya de adulta, trata de buscar su propia sexualidad, condicionada por los conceptos centrales del sexo de Ghana, país en el que nacieron sus padres y hermanos. Pero ella lleva pensamientos que son difíciles de superar. La muerte de su querido hermano Nana, jugador de baloncesto, y que a muy temprana edad muere por las drogas. Su madre, personaje atormentado entre el abandono del marido y la muerte del hijo, y que se refugia en la religión como única salida a su vida. Gifty busca refugio en la ciencia, tratando de buscar una razón del por qué esos dos pasados que no se le van de la mente. En San Francisco, lejos de Ghana y de Alabama, donde creció, y tuvieron lugar los hechos condicionantes de su estado, encontrará una cierta estabilidad que le procurará hacer avanzar su existencia. El libro queda muy recomendado. Es todo por hoy, hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Hasta luego.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you happen to not know Spanish, check out our English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Here are some upcoming library events to keep track of. March 1st, TikTok STEAM at 6 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. Registration is required. March 2nd, Monotype Printing at 6 and 7 p.m. in the Adult Program Room. Registration is required. March 5th, the library will be closed for Touch a Truck, Play Unplugged in Central Park. March 9th, Adult Sign Language Beginner at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. March 11th, St. Patrick's Bingo at 4 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. March 12th, Library Legos at 2 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. March 15th, Census, Non-Population Schedules at 1 p.m. in the Local History Room. March 18th, March Maze Mayhem at 3 p.m. in the Children's Program Room. March 19th, Lecture Series Cemetery Preservation and Restoration at 1 p.m. in the Jenkins Wing. March 21st, Card Making with Cutouts at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room B. Registration is required. March 26th, Pup Pals Reading Dogs, with 20-minute time slots from 10 a.m. until 11:40 a.m. in the Children's Program Room. Registration is required. March 28th, Teen Trivia Night at 5:30 p.m. in Jenkins Room C. March 29th, Make Your Own Watercolor Paint at 6 and 7 p.m. in the Adult Program Room. Registration is required. March 31st, Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass, Still Relevant to Modern Times, at 6:30 p.m. in Jenkins Room B and C. Registration is required. Have a great month, everyone. We hope to talk to you again soon. The book is confrontation. See, opposite of that.